Good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Be Nudged by Maya, a show about understanding human behavior, marketing, and so much more. My name is Arjun. I'm your host of the show. Today, we're going to talk about something different, that is marketing automation. If you look at the industry today, the single most underutilized resource for marketing agency is programmatic automation. And helping me expand on this is Siddharth Jain, a digital marketer, a friend, an ex-colleague, and most importantly, the third face of Maya. So Siddharth, we're very happy to have you here. But before we move forward, could you briefly expand on your position as the third face of Maya?
My position as the third face of Maya primarily involves me being a digital strategist for our clients. I have a keen focus on the return of investment for the clients, and I'm able to advise them on which channels of marketing would be able to yield the best results for them. We ask the question of why. We ask it 100 times over to figure out whether the strategies currently employed by our clients actually make sense, or is there an opportunity cost we're missing? Is there something else which we could be doing better? And one of the consistent answers to the question of what could we be doing better is bringing the customer into the absolute focal point of all marketing activities. And it's this question and this human element is the common vein that united the three of us and enshrines the very fundamentals of what Maya is all about. It's about bringing the people back into the focal point of marketing.
Absolutely, 100%. I don't think I could have said that better. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for being a part of Maya. But before joining us, your journey actually started in a boutique design agency in Delhi, after which we met at a conversion rate optimization agency in Bangalore, and then you went on to work at a travel tech startup in Goa, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Siddharth is here with us to explain a little bit more about himself and his real-world experience with marketing automation. So with that, what would you say was your first foray into the world of marketing automation?
My first foray into the world of marketing automation actually began in the last place which you listed in the three that you mentioned above, which was at a startup in Goa, which was essentially trying to be a property management service combined with an OTA platform for only the Indian market as of now. And they were building themselves up to try and get this into a sort of a sustainable business model, but the focus was more on the technology side of things. So over here, there were a lot of shoes to be filled. There were a lot of different jobs to be done. And I found that the only way to stay above everything was through various automation strategies. So be it for lead generation, be it for social media, be it for managing our CRM, it was all done through different types of automation.
That's interesting. And more about this platform. You said it's a mix of both. It comes off sounding something like an Airbnb. Am I getting close?
Yeah. So it was pretty much very similar to Airbnb, but the only difference was that they wanted to take a very active role in the listing of and managing of the properties as well. They wanted to streamline the different ways that a property is managed and the way that a property is then marketed and distributed, and completely remove that headache from the owner's mind, where even on Airbnb, a lot of the ownership of maintaining the house, promoting the house, and managing the property is still on the owner's head, and which is the fundamental issue with most platform-based solutions is that they give you the playground within which to play, but they really just leave it at that and they don't give you anything more. And we thought that a great opportunity within this would be a little bit of hand-holding for the customers, especially Indian customers.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So it's almost like you were optimizing the concept
Yes.
of
of Airbnb.
Yes.
Right. And speaking about conversion optimization, right? You, me, and Rithika, they have actually worked together as conversion rate optimization consultant in the same place. And arcing back to those times, you know, we had some really good sessions, brainstorming sessions, and we constantly broke the boundaries of conventional thinking, right? Creating marketing campaigns or designing A/B tests or just deliberating on thousands of ideas, right? So at that job at that stage taught me a lot of like who I am today and kind of set the course of my career, right? What were your major takeaways from that position?
So I think my major takeaways were twofold. The first and most invaluable learning that working as a CRO executive with U2 taught me was that modern businesses regularly leave money on the table. And month after month, this money adds up. And this figure can range from hundreds to even thousands of dollars, depending on the size of the traffic of the website. The second learning that has served as a guiding light for me since my time there is a learning about people. After building thousands of hypotheses and running hundreds of tests, I've come to the firm conclusion that, metaphorically speaking, you can only lead the horse to the water. It must drink it on its own. The motivation of a customer to make a purchase must come from within. That's what I'm trying to say. And the most consistent way of doing so, of inspiring this motivation, is by cultivating an environment that inspires purchase. The environment must be conducive to the action that you want taken. Otherwise, it's really, you're never going to really be able to optimize. It must be the design that you make, it must be graceful in defeat so that that lasting impression is there in the customer's mind. It must be a bit unique. And obviously, like anything else, it must provide a stunning first impression.
Absolutely. I agree with your point. And our experiences are deeply inspired by us, you know, to unlearn what we already know about marketing and to rebuild our cognitive tools from the first principles. So with all that intent of bringing our gaze back into what really matters is the people. And that's kind of like why we started Maya,
yes.
Right? So in fact, in our time in conversion optimization, after our time, actually, you, like you said, went on to that travel tech startup, and then you took on a senior marketing role, which was a sizable jump up. It was a senior executive position,
yes.
Right? Talk about a move up. How did that come to be?
So I was approached by the CEO via LinkedIn because I had just finished taking the courses which I needed to be able to successfully call myself an omni-channel marketer. So I just finished Facebook's blueprint course, I'd finished ads for Google ads, for LinkedIn ads, for Twitter, as well as a basic course on SEO and keyword mining and data filtering for keywords. So these are basically the fundamentals that you need to really just start running ads. I already knew CRO, and because of CRO, I had a line into web development, and we'd also done email marketing, which was to a degree, at least in the company mm-hmm. that we worked at, it was within CRO itself. So right after I completed these skills, I must have popped up on his job search. So he asked mm-hmm. me to come, and we had a long discussion, and I told him a lot about the tests that we used to run, and I gave him some basic ideas about why he should opt for something unique. Like before I reached, he was still in the vein of thinking that I have these houses, I'm able to sell them via online channels, I should get more houses and then sell them as well. But I was able to convince him that you can roll this into a technology solution because there's an N number of property managers and people out there who are trying to do the same thing as you are. And if you're trying to solve particular problems, you can just solve them via documented procedures and technical implementation. And that bundle of procedures and technical implementation can be given to other people who you can charge them for it. So it's, you're going to have to do that work once anyway. So why not sell that one work that you have to do? And that's really where this whole idea of having a platform for property managers, which also has a front-facing side, which is like an Airbnb, came to be.
So So going back to that line, which you said that you essentially transferred his line of thinking from just a property managing startup to a travel tech startup, that couldn't have been an easy sell. And with that came its own complexities in finding the right talent and finding the right tool. So how were you able to manage, you know, spearheading this new identity or this new vision for the company?
So there's actually a small irony over there, which is that the seed of this idea had already been planted in him, and he already knew that was where he had to go. What I was really able to provide was the roadmap and one possible path which would lead to the goal that he wanted, one particular format of answering the questions that he wanted answered. So that's really why it made the whole thing a bit easier. But the way I was able to convince him is just like we did in ConvertKart, I made detailed process documents coupled with checklists and finally coupled with tracker documents to make sure that the process is being implemented as it should be. And usually when we put these three things together, you like management also feels comfortable because they have a good overview into what's going on, and then the employees are also able to get trained in the new process and pick up the new skill fast. And those are the two ways in which I was able to give the CEO confidence that we can really do this.
That's like, I'm blown away right now. That's a pretty good strategy. Is this also the first place you came across marketing automation? Yeah,
this was the first place that I came across marketing automation, and it was really halfway through it when I realized that the quantum of work was just simply too much. And I reached out to the CTO because I didn't feel like telling the CEO about this. And what the CTO said is that a portion of the work that you're doing, it can be automated through his team. And he was so generous in giving the members of his team and asking them to do work which was technically from my department. And they helped me learn how basic JSON script programming works, as well as the different tools, as well as web parsing, which is so critical for lead generation, and all of these different things which I had no idea about before. I was able to learn through them, and that's really my first experience with automation.
That's understandable, because the very premise of automation is to make our life easier. And that said, I have a couple of questions for you, right? How would you define the role of automation marketing currently? And what do you think are the benefits of practicing this? And last question is, what do you reckon is the biggest barrier of entry? Because we have heard marketing automation being preached like over and over again, but seldom people embrace it, do adopt it, right? So what's that? What's stopping people?
So I think what's really stopping people is a deep fear of making mistakes, and a education system which has not encouraged exploratory critical thinking. And why I stress on that is because it's become a cliche today that all the knowledge is at your fingertips, and often we find that one thing's become a cliche is when they also start being dismissed, and which is actually the premise of many memes, is that the meme can say something so moving and it can talk about something which is so impactful to so many people's lives, but because it's a meme, it's capable of being dismissed, and therefore the concept is capable of being dismissed as well. And I feel like marketing automation has almost become a meme, and people who would otherwise have gotten into it have just been like, okay, leave it, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. But I'm going to list two or three sources where marketing automation, you can learn more about it, and you can really get exactly the same knowledge that I had during my time there and the first experience that I had with marketing automation. Anyone who's listening to this can go through the same thing, and all you have to do is go through their carefully written guides, and they're absolutely fantastic guides on how to do it, and everything is user friendly and everything is menu driven. You don't technically have to learn how to code, because everything is already been pre-coded for you. If you want to do something very custom and very particular, sure, you will have to learn to code. But for 90% of all actions that you would take, be it for CRM, lead generation, or social media automation, those recipes, as they're called, exist. So coming back to your second question, that how would you define the role of marketing automation? I think that sits in line very neatly with what I had to go through. So when I was working for the travel tech startup, we too had arrived at a significant problem that many businesses face. That this problem is that even if you build a stunning website with strong fundamentals, your marketing team needs to make creative campaigns that drive visitors, and your sales team needs to make sure that they convert these visitors into customers. This is a laborious and time-consuming process, which over the years has slowly become more and more optimized. And by the way that this optimization has happened is by automating all of the repetitive processes, be it internal within one platform and different things that you can do there, or between platforms and when information has to be handed off between platforms. Both of these places are where automation has really risen its head. And it, after implementing this, you can really free up your teams to do what they do best. And broadly speaking, marketing automation is a subset of customer relationship management. And it is used to replace the repetitive tasks which involve multiple touch points that would otherwise have to be done manually. And there are three broad categories. The first is marketing intelligence. This is done via unique codes to track buyer behavior. This tagging allows for the development of a detailed audience profile. The segments created can be further used to send personalized messages or product recommendation. The second is called marketing automation, just standard marketing automation. This is done via software solutions to sort and target leads. It's essentially a middle of the funnel activity where prospects are scored based on their propensity to convert and sent out personal messages accordingly. And the final final point in marketing automation is advanced workflow automation. This is done to augment any internal process and can be applied in a variety of fashions, ranging from calendar and task list management, internal collaboration, digital asset creation, approval management, and much more. So just to end with a real, this might seem a bit complicated, so just to end with a real use case, and small businesses today spend valuable time and money on managing social media. They spend time liking and following people from their target audience, exporting audiences into CRMs, converting post likers into page likers, and scraping LinkedIn for email leads. Most of these activities are still done manually. And this, I have personally seen this lead to frustration and drops in quality across the board in other in the other tasks that a person has to undertake in the day. Like I've stressed on before, let them focus on the things that require a human.
You know, like you brought an interesting example of like email automation, email marketing and personalized emails. For example, I know this as an example, this company called PaperStyle, they had their round in personalizing emails. They make personalized greeting cards, I believe, and they were able to increase their open rates by 244% and boost their revenue from email marketing by 333%, click rates up by 161%. All by simply automating their workflow.
Yeah, this is somewhat in line with the kind of figures I've seen. Like the famous company, security company McAfee, used marketing automation to quadruple its conversion rate by increasing the quality of their leads. Reuters, the news agency, increased their revenue from marketing activities by 175% just by automating emails. Even Obama's presidential campaign made significant use of marketing automation.
So is there anything Obama hasn't tried? And I reckon his campaign even used A-B testing to test out different messages to attract different voter types. So how do you reckon people get into marketing automation? And what are some of the most common tools and services that you recommend?
So for most things a small to medium business could want automated, the act of doing so is not complicated at all. It requires roughly 4 hours of reading and 1 hour of familiarizing yourself with the tools, and approximately maybe one more hour to make sure that you are doing it right. All of this is possible without any prior knowledge of coding. And one of the reasons why you must consider doing this is because of the inherent cost of switching platforms and opening new tabs. Even something as simple as post schedulers can immensely improve the efficiency of your day and make sure that there's no cost of switching as you're navigating between different social media outlets. Some of the free tools you can use for this include IFTTT and Phantom Buster. These are both incredibly free tools, and you can just type these into Google and you have marketing automation at your fingertips. And these are more than enough for any small business. On the paid side, you have things like Zapier and Integromat. They have broad sweeping functionality and integration. You can practically daisy chain any process on the internet and with Integromat. And its slogan, which it truly lives up to, is the glue of the internet. So the possibilities are like endless. And automation of marketing is really just you leveraging the power of computing to work better, nothing more and nothing less. If you aren't already doing so, you should consider looking into it, because it is the true embodiment of growth hacking and is applicable across all industries, business sizes, and audience profiles.
On that very specific note, I think it's time to wrap up this discussion. So thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being here. And this has been a deeply insightful session. And I hope you have conveyed to our listeners the importance of automation and marketing and the inherent time savings that follow. But before we conclude, I reckon there's one more cipher that is yet to be solved. That is, who is Siddharth Jaiman as a person? So I implore you to think quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this. Okay. What's your dream job?
I've always wanted to help create a renaissance for our generation, another renaissance.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Expand on the renaissance. I think that
the renaissance was a time where there was great exploration in the arts and consequently culture. And this was able to take place because the environment that had been cultivated was conducive to such a exploration. And I think that technology could be the way that people of our generation come together in a constructive fashion to actually create something rather than mindlessly consuming something. And that could very well be the seed of the next renaissance.
So like a digital renaissance.
That's how I would phrase it.
Okay. So how would you describe yourself in three words?
In three words. Okay. Empathic, pragmatic, and relentless.
Relentless you are. So on that point, what was the last book that you read? And I know you read pretty quickly.
The last book I read is called The Inner Game of Tennis by Timothy Galloway. It's the classic guide to the mental side of peak performance. That's the tagline of the book. And what the book really is about is it's about how to deliver peak performance and how you can cultivate the method that's needed to consistently reach peak performance, whether you're doing sports, work, or in other things in life. And it's really an exceptional book for anyone who's really not being able to put their car into that fifth gear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm adding that to my reading list, definitely. So on that note, what's your favorite quote?
My favorite quote is a long one, and it's something which I hold very dear. It's from Walter Benjamin's conception of how history is and how the structure of the system of history proceeds and provides us a visual way to really see the contours of this concept we call history. So to do so, he references a painting. It's a Klee painting named Angelus Novus, and it shows an angel looking as though he's about to move away from something that he is fixedly contemplating. His eyes are staring, his mouth is open, his wings are spread. This is how one pictures the angel of history. His face is turned towards the past, where we perceive a chain of events, he sees one single catastrophe which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage and hurls it in front of his feet. The angel would like to stay, awaken the dead, and make whole what has been smashed. But a storm is blowing from paradise. It has got caught in his wings with such violence that the angel can no longer close them. This storm irresistibly propels him into the future to which his back is turned. While the pile of debris before him grows skyward, this storm is what we call progress.
So that is a really fascinating quote. What does that mean to you?
What this quote has meant to me over my life is that you simply cannot see the future. You can take actions based on the consequences of your actions. And those consequences are the only real evidence and that you will get. And the decisions you make must be based on that. And you will continually go through life discounting most variables with very little information. And only when that information comes to bite you in the butt is where we start talking about hindsight being 2020. And the storm will never let you stop going forward. You will continually move forward in time, and this process will keep going on. And it may seem bleak, but I do believe that this is how it is, and we must acknowledge it, and we must continue on with our lives.
On that note, this brings me to my next and final question. Every time we say the word automation, people associate the Doom, Apocalypse, Schwarzenegger, and Terminator with that word, right? There's always a negative connotation, and I think a lot of it has to do with the perception of it taking over jobs. And as a former automation engineer, to a great degree, repetitive jobs can be taken over by automated systems, right? That is just a given that we know it's happening. Your automated lines and factories have more robots than workers right now. Right. But I think it's like, how do you remove this negative connotation? How do you usher in an era where it's not frowned upon, but that's a lot more accepted and no one's feared about it?
So I think,
if you know what I mean.
The question that you're asking, it's such a pertinent question because automation is taking away jobs at a time where the economy desperately requires effective demand from the people. And if people don't have jobs and they don't have money and they don't have effective demand, and the cycle repeats itself. And which is why the only real solution to the fact that millions of people are being replaced by robots every day and will continue to do so at an increasing rate, it requires intervention from the government, because it's crystal clear that corporations are not going to sacrifice their profits or take on this burden of reskilling the workforce. And that is really what you need, is that if someone is in a job which is very likely going to be automated within the next 4 to 5 years, so for example, certain long-range trucking routes or certain manual jobs in factories, like, they're being automated. So it's absolutely critical that someone does a careful risk analysis about which jobs in which states and which countries in India in particular are at risk of being automated, and then the government implements the recommendations of these reports to try and actually nip this in the bud and to actually be prepared for a situation that is yet to come.
And what about in the purview of automation and marketing?
In automation and marketing, there is always a slight risk of ending up appearing immensely mechanical to your customer, where it's like you're sending them like you're sending them messages which they know why sent to them. Like, it's like they figured out what your algorithm was, they figured out what your thing was, right? And once it becomes that transparent, it's a little difficult to get your message across. I think that the automation in marketing is exclusively there so that you can work in various avatars or avatars, because we're Indian, and you can have one version of you which is doing all of these social media engagement activities, one version of you which is doing all of the lead generation, lead cleaning, and lead exportation into your CRM, while you are actually focused on building hypotheses and doing something else. It should augment your work. It shouldn't be a license for you to stop working.
I mean, that should be on a coat, that should be on a t-shirt. Right. Absolutely. All right. This has been great. Thank you for your time. I'm sure our listeners have got a lot from this one. So thank you once again. This is B Nudge by Maya. Joined us today is Siddharth Jaiman.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Pleasure's all mine. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, we hope you liked this episode of Be Nudged by Maya. So until next time, this is your host Arjun signing off. And as always, be human, stay courageous, and think like Maya.